1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/audio. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/audio.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's October 30th, 2024. It's spooky season. It's Halloween time. And we're here for your AEW Dynamite post-show review. As always, brought to you by FightfulSelect.com, the leader in exclusive news. Three great pieces that we'll brag about later on. It's $5 a month or $54 a year. But a guy that you can also see on that service reviewing any number of things, SmackDown, Raw, movies here and there. I'm pretty sure he'll be watching this Saturday show, but he'll be reviewing it in some capacity in the Sands of Blind.
Yep.
We got Alex Palowski. Alex, what's the costume tonight?
Oh, I'm hold on. I'm Bryan Danielson.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's good.
You know what? That's pretty good.
It's just something I threw together. So
I thought that it might be like you might be in the movie American Beauty.
No.
The plastic bag or not another teen movie. Do you remember that one?
No,
the man who had the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Oh, bag. Right. Yes. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen back. Yeah. No, I'm
there
definitely,
you go. Well,
definitely Bryan Danielson.
Okay. You know what? Probably a little bit more thematic for today's show.
Yeah. No, I was thinking that it'd probably be pretty good if I was Bryan Danielson tonight. So,
well, if you guys are here, leave a thumbs up. Let us know that you're here. Get in your super chats and humper chats, whether you want to talk about Dynamite, the debut, the AEW ID situation, any of that, please let us know. But earlier on, we had a super chat that we missed by just like a fraction of a second on the hump. And I wanted to get to that. It was Penny who asked how we think they will hype up the WWE ID talent. Well, I think they're going to probably have the WWE ID channel, and they'll probably utilize that on like a YouTube as well. And they'll probably have those people vlog and cut promos and a lot of that stuff and see which ones connect in that way. And then maybe they'll get featured on, they're probably more likely to get extra work. They're probably more likely to get a lot of that as well. But yeah. That's how I expect it to happen. Alex, any ideas there?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. That's kind of what I've been thinking, what they're going to do with them, have them be the more prominent.
How is your audio so good right now?
Listen, it's a skill.
Your audio now is better than Kate's usually.
It's true. It's true. I do have a pretty good podcast mic, but also this is a skill honed through years and years of speaking through plastic bags. So,
okay. Fair.
You know,
listen, there are rookies and there are veterans in this game.
That's true.
There are levels to this.
There are
levels to this. So, yeah, my God, guys, get your super chats and humper chats in. If you want to get your question or statement read, you can do that here on youtube.com/Fightful. We have recent interviews up with Baron Corbin and Bronson Reed. We have ones with Vinny Pacifico, Brett Lauderdale of GCW, which unfortunately I filmed right before the WWE ID announcement. But also one that I'm very excited about this Monday, Paul London. Talked to him for about an hour. I learned an awful lot by talking to him. But if you're watching on Twitter, on anything like that, listen, this show streams on my Twitter, on Jeremy's, on the Fightful Twitter, any number of those. So please go over there, slap a retweet on those. I cannot begin to tell you how much that helps us as well, because we do very well on those platforms. And just getting those eyes on people that are getting people's eyes on the show that might not have necessarily seen it before. It helps us a great deal. So we would greatly appreciate that. But we already do have some super chats and humper chats, thanks to our great moderator, Luis, who collected those. Meat Normus says, Dynamite had a lot of meat tonight. I'm sweat. Sweat. Tom LaValle says, you know what? I'm going to wait for that one. Okay. Jay Howler says, Dynamite's been falling off since, or feeling off since All Out. This felt like a return to form. The first half hour or so, I was like, okay. And we'll go ahead and get right to that.
Right.
Orange Cassidy cuts a promo, and this isn't something we see a lot of. And he even says as much. He's like,
yeah.
He's like, guys, I don't do this a lot. Like, I don't cut a lot of promos. I don't necessarily come out here and talk about a lot of things. And he challenged Jon Moxley. He's like, I don't really appreciate what you guys are doing. Don't have a lot of respect for it. What'd you think of him cutting this rare promo?
I mean, I liked it a lot. I liked that he, he had that fire lit under him last week that we saw. I really loved the thing that came out later in the week, where we saw after Dynamite went off the air, when he got in that shouting match with Garcia. And Garcia's like, no, this is what's going to happen to everybody. You got to take care of this. He's like, yeah. I'm going to take care of it next week. And this is the way to do it. Like, to basically call him right out. Here's the deal. The thing that I thought was a little off about this, and I think it might be intentionally so, is it is so much easier for somebody like Orange Cassidy to say, Jon Moxley doesn't care about AEW. Well, that's not true. According to Moxley, he just believes it should be something other than what it is. And you believe that it has the potential to be better than it is too, Orange Cassidy. You just want different things for it. He doesn't want to burn the whole thing down. He wants to change it into something better. So do you. Those two better things in your minds are drastically different. And when we start to get to that point, maybe there'll be a shift in the narrative of the good guys, of like, Moxley just wants to tear this place apart. He's said many, many times that's not the case. Now, you can think he's, you know, full of crap, but I think that the thing that makes Moxley so interesting is that he views what he is doing as righteous. And it is a benefit to everyone else in the company in the long run if they would only choose to see it. And I love that there's that part here. Also, just him coming out straight up and saying, I challenge you for the title because somebody other than you needs to be holding that right now. And I'm the one to do that because all these other guys around me, they're all kids. They're the future. A lot of people don't realize that Orange Cassidy is 40 years old. You know what I mean? They don't think of him as that. But he's a veteran in this business. I did love him saying, I need AEW. Or I don't exist. You know what I mean? Like, that is that's an absolute real thing for some of the people employed by AEW. They were never going to get a WWE contract. And I think that this is a really cool thing for him to understand, make us understand that fits him too.
So later on, we see that group, which appear to be called the Death Riders, which, fantastic name, if so. Jon Moxley went to trademark that. Better than the BCC as well, because that era is effectively done, gone.
Yeah,
it's something else now, and I just love that. But Jon Moxley orders them to basically just knock Yuta's head off unless he can get.
Yeah, that was
phenomenal.
I love that because Yuta, again, in no way was he in on this. Like, this is him. He believed for a second he was going to get his neck broke by the guys he chose over Bryan Danielson.
Yes.
And then the extra layer on top of that is after OC comes out, he is immediately back to the bad guy side again. The thing that I also loved about that particular promo was Moxley saying, "You think you can challenge me? No, I challenged you last week when I did what I did to Chuck Taylor. That was my challenge to you, and you have answered it. Good for you." I like that a lot.
And yeah, I loved them still appealing to his emotions as well, as much as he doesn't care. Even a guy that has turned his back on what he at AEW stand for, Orange Cassidy still had that emotional connection to Wheeler Yuta to where he still felt the need to save him. Even though he probably knew what was going to happen afterwards. He probably knew that this was a setup.
Yeah.
He still did that. And then we saw some members of the AEW team come out and help him, including Dark Order, which I'm glad that they're being featured in this, even though they're largely getting beat. It's like I've been asking them to be used. They were such an integral part of AEW at one point and influential in one of the greatest storylines AEW has ever had. So obviously they are going to feel some sort of special connection, even though it might be a complicated relationship with AEW for them. Yeah. It still makes sense for them to be there.
Yeah. Them coming out, Top Flight also being a part of this private party, comes out as well. And then Darby, who was apparently just hanging out in the rafters in case there was a brawl he needed to break up.
Like, boy, was that, that was. So let's talk about that. He comes down looking like a puppet that's not being. And then I was so scared. I was so scared because that cord started to get wrapped around them, Alex. And I was
What happens if
somebody gets raised up accidentally and that's around somebody's neck?
No.
Well, that's not a concern because they just shuffle back into a table that was to be broken later and it breaks all right. One of the funniest table break spots I've ever seen. Yep. The table just said, "Nope, I'm good."
Yeah. Yeah, I do wonder just the logistics of Darby being like, has he been going to all the arenas, just getting fitted for the harness, sitting up in the rafters until the perfect moment to drop down behind Claudio? Like it just felt so weird because it wasn't like, because every time we've seen him drop down, that has been a setup that he made to surprise the bad guys.
Yes,
this was a response to something the bad guys were already doing. Which to me, like, you could have dropped down there 45 seconds ago and helped out more.
I don't.
Why did you wait so long?
There are definitely a couple of logic gaps on this show that I'm like, huh? What happened here? 2LT Cole Photo says too many promos, not enough wrestling. They had 55 minutes of wrestling tonight. Like, if anything, I felt like the opening match could have been shorter, despite me liking both performers. And I'll be talking about that shortly, but Melissa says Team BCC has Marina Shafir. Who does Team AEW have? Who can take on Marina? There's a lot of people they have. They got Thunder Rosa. They got Britt Baker. They've got Willow. Willow got sidelined the other day, but they got a whole lot of people, I think.
Right. I think Willow would have been the perfect person for that. As far as like a Team AEW, like Willow feels like she fits in the most with that aesthetic. There are also just a lot of other stories going on right now that I feel like should have to declare what side they're on in case there's a full draft of, you know what I mean? Like Adam Cole is doing a thing with MJF and, you know, but I feel like Adam Cole would be on the side of the good guys. So, you know, just to know in case that happens. Swerve, I feel like, is somebody that Daniel Garcia and Orange Cassidy would come up to in the back and say, "Hey, we're getting our asses kicked back here. Could you help out occasionally?" And he would say, "Well, yeah, but then there's this thing with Bobby Lashley." So, but at least I want to know like what all these other guys, what their thoughts on the matter might be, because it is, you know, kind of the
anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Marino's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Whole umbrella story covering everything else in AEW.
So, also, Zach Schimmel says, very solid show tonight. Subscribe to Fightful Select. Yes, I encourage that. Much love to Fightful and the amazing community. Just bring back Omega already. Well, we actually answered this on the Select Answers this week on the podcast I do on Mondays. But there's Kenny, there's getting in shape, there's getting in ring shape, and there's getting in Kenny Omega ring shape.
Yeah.
And that is very important to him from what I understand. He does not want to go out there and half-ass anything. He's Kenny Omega. He's still got a ways to go. But a few things we did report on Fightful Select today. A whole bunch of NXT news. We addressed Obafemi rumors. We have details, reactions from people in Hollywood and people in wrestling about Vince McMahon's new company, of which one person I have just gained a quote during Dynamite, quote, maybe he'll make a film with Kevin Spacey and Tucker Carlson, end quote. And this is from an award-winning actor. So there you go. And today, and we ain't talking Golden Razzies, my friend, or whatever the hell those are.
Yeah.
But let's talk about a match I did not like and I was very excited for. Adam Cole defeating Buddy Matthews. And I understand why they have to sell the ankle, the foot, all that. And obviously they're going to continue working that into full gear. I felt like it was so heavy, so heavy. Like, is he going to leave the match? Or they won't let it continue? The ref's outside checking on him. At that point, why isn't the match over?
Right.
At that point, why isn't the ref calling the end of the match? If it's so bad that he's got to sit out there for the duration of a countout, if he's about to leave, why is that match still going on? And then beyond that, how on earth would Adam Cole be cleared after this? How on earth would he be allowed to wrestle after all this?
Yeah.
That took me, like, I'm completely fine with it giving him some trouble and playing into it. But to me, this one took me out quite a bit.
I didn't mind it as much because it's his first match back. Because of the nature of how bad that ankle was broken, I like that they put some focus on it to begin with. I think that the him being led out of the to the back without the match being called off, like, he's halfway up the ramp before you call the match off. That doesn't seem like something you could do. That part was the only thing that I thought went too far. Everything else about it, I was fine with him being looked at by the people. I also feel like the thing afterwards, after he beats Buddy Matthews, who gave Adam Cole everything he could handle in this match, and that was about. Then the shake hands, lights come down, lights come up, and Adam Cole is now shaking Malakai Black's hand. And Malakai Black had did a new thing with the eye tonight, which I really liked. Like, it was like the eye was just bleeding straight down his face. I like that.
Every time I see him with like a new face thing, I just remember my wife watching the show and just like uncomfortably asking me at one point, he's going to stop with the pain at some point, right?
No.
She was like, the whole thing's not going to be black, right?
I see what you're saying. No, he won't.
She was like, somebody's going to stop him. Right. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't think he's going to go there. Don't worry.
So obviously, Malachi would be his next opponent. However, I feel like saying like that match is now official as of tonight is too early. Like, you got to actually give a few days for them to like work out. Is there any extra swelling on that ankle? Make that match official on Collision. Mm-hmm. Like, we gave him Thursday, Friday, and all of Saturday. His ankle looks good. He has told us he wants that match. We're giving it to him. Him versus Malachi Black will be on Wednesday. Let us percolate with that, a little bit of that suspension of disbelief with his ankle and whether or not he might be clear. Let us have that for a few days before you make that official. That would be my only thing.
I mean, yeah, maybe I tuned out a little bit when they had the segment of him backstage, I think in the trainer's room.
Yeah.
But it should be I don't know if I'll be able to make it too after the trouble that gave me. Maybe I came back too soon. And he told the doc he was fine. Listen, he told the doc he was fine. What? He sat outside the ring. The crowd counted him out. He almost left. What? If Big John McCarthy were in the UFC and saw this and let this go on.
Right, yeah.
He'd get raked over the coals.
You know who else I'm sure would have told the doc he was fine? I'm fine. No, I'm fine. I can go. It's fine. Don't worry about me. I'm fine.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Buddy FAFO'd him by calling him a little. I don't know what that means. Yeah.
F'd around and found out by calling him a little bitch or whatever.
Okay, fair. DJ Jericho says a lot of drama during that match. Yeah, there was plenty of drama. And
yeah,
I think the reason why for me, I was like, why'd they go that route? One of the heavier criticisms in retrospect of that entire storyline was how like WWE, the storyline was.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a lot of like revisionist history there. It was a massively over story while it was going on. Could you say that it took up too much time? Yeah. I think this match could have been about 5 minutes shorter. I could have stood for this to be about
so much extra stuff put into it. It made the whole thing longer.
But I could have used three more minutes on Chris and Camille here. Yeah.
You could easily take 3 minutes out of this, completely excise the entire Jericho promo and have given Stat and Camille another 10 minutes.
So let's go over the Jericho promo because it was nothing. It was just him saying he was the ROH champion.
Entirely nothing.
And him getting a good heat spot as a guy who's a Cincinnati fan, telling Cleveland, thank you to all you beautiful people here in Cincinnati, was a nice touch. I like that. But other than that, like, listen, any other geographical reference, I probably would have been like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Because it was unique to me. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I want to read a Humper chat, but I noticed it was sent at 4:30 today.
Yeah.
AEW Fright Night had a lot of ups and downs. Now they almost.
Is this from somebody named Cyclo? Who's doing this? Yeah. This is the person they do this on the Sour Grap stuff. They'll predict something wildly hours before and see if it comes true.
Well, let me tell you. if you shoot 80% in the NBA, that's a record, right?
Yeah, true. Yep.
Stat and Camille were slapping all kinds of meat until the DQ.
No, none didn't happen.
Swerve and Benjamin was amazing.
Yep.
Bobby's debut was cool.
Yep.
And it's about time Private Party win the tag belts and freshen up this division.
There you go.
Not bad.
Nice.
Not bad.
That's pretty good, honestly.
Got to give him credit there. Got to give him credit. Adam Cole did cut a promo backstage, by the way. We also saw Mercedes and Camille cut a promo with Renee backstage as well. But Christopher Daniels is with Private Party, warns them about how SCU got broken up and how Frankie Kazarian isn't even with the company anymore. So giving them a little bit of a pep talk. But backstage, Renee talks with Hangman Page, who said that Jay White joined the Owen Hart tournament in July, intending to compete for the world championship. But he said he, not Christian Cage, cost him that. And he is the reason why Jay White was out for 3 months. And I love this. He's like, I know Jay White's strategy. He's going to go after my leg. He's going to do the dragon screw. He's going to do shin breakers and all that stuff. Yeah. He's like, but what am I going to do? Am I going to hit you with a steel chair? Am I going to burn your house down?
Yeah.
He has set himself up to be so unpredictable.
Yeah.
In this. And I love this. It was a quick way to get him on the show. And he referenced all those crazy things. And he's saying now, it doesn't have to be that personal. I can just be mad that I lost a match to you and burn your house down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to beat that case if he burns it down.
No,
that's arson. Premeditated.
Also, like, I feel like once you're a recidivist, it's harder for your billionaire boss to get you out of jail.
There you go.
Once you've become a serial arsonist, then all of a sudden it's like, well, now it wasn't an isolated incident. You know what I mean?
Like, maybe if there's like a Bullet Club boat or something, and he could do it on international waters.
Oh, okay.
Maybe like Jay Holler once. Once more of Hangman's threatening arson, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. Maybe. Like, who knows? Maybe I'll burn your house down. I don't know. Maybe I will. Depends on what I'm feeling like that day.
Kyle Fletcher is out. He looks just like Don Callis. He looks like Big Jack Don Callis. It's ridiculous. He's wearing his sunglasses. He's got the shaved head. He can cut. He has a great microphone presence, that guy.
He does.
Like, and anybody that watched his work prior kind of knew that this was the case. It didn't come out of nowhere.
Right.
But he's got like some confidence about him right now.
Sure. Yeah.
And you can go back and see a tweet that I posted, I think, God, either earlier this year or last year. And I said, he is where AJ Styles was in 2001, 2002. He is where Kenny Omega was in 2014, 2015, and he is where Will Ospreay was in 2019. That's where I view him. I see him in that same line of talent, except he's way bigger physically than all of them.
Yeah.
He is a guy that not even a next up now. He's feuding with a top guy in the company right now, and what we see is him call Will Ospreay out, but instead – we get the very welcome return of Mark Davis. Yeah. Now, I do not know if he's cleared yet, but Mark Davis, his longtime tag team partner, is there. And he was like, you're talking about a family. We had an empire.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're calling out a guy you know isn't here. Alex, how'd you feel about this?
He says, you're doing this to Will. This is a guy you and I both called brother. What? I don't even know who I'm looking at right now. I do like that because basically he's just like, he needs to start painting a scar on his forehead. Somebody said in the chat, just to fully cement him.
Somebody asked me in the Q&A if he was planning on doing that. And I was like, I've not heard of that, but it would be kind of funny.
He's even walking like him now, all that stuff. But I did like this a lot, of trying to like make it be about like putting that representative of what they used to be in front of Fletcher, and Fletcher basically saying that guy's dead. That guy you used to team with, he's gone. Now you can go ahead and team with me. This guy, there's always a place for you in the Don Callis family. I've made sure of that, but you're going to have to make a really tough decision. Are you with us or are you with him? If you choose him, I cannot be held responsible for what happens to you, dear old friend. Like that's really good stuff. And I love that at this point, Davis certainly seems like he's going to choose Ospreay, but we just don't know right now.
Just Ricardo says Davis looks like he's mourning a breakup. He kind of is.
Yeah.
In a way. Is.
Also, I expected his voice to be more gruff and much lower.
Yeah.
He sounds like Bluey's dad. He's just a very affable Australian chap, and it doesn't quite fit with the whole persona, and I just didn't know.
My God. Guys, we have our great partner at Bet Online. If you guys have not checked them out, you can bet on wrestling at Bet Online AG. Our great friends over there, they currently have a WWE Crown Jewel. I forget the damn names of the Saudi shows at this point, but they have those odds up right now. They have prop odds up all the time on like John Cena's future and all that. But we had a couple of winners recently on a couple of underdog winners on Wrestle Dream as well, which, you know, don't always happen. And I think we've given you guys like 12 or 14 underdog lock picks.
Wow.
This year. Now this week's show, much more difficult to call. Like, honestly, this card is one of the more unpredictable WWE cards I've ever seen. And the betting lines reflect that. Gunther, a small favorite over Cody Rhodes. Liv Morgan and Nia Jax tied up. Andrade, favored to win the U.S. title.
Wow.
The Bloodline, the new Bloodline, slightly favored to beat Roman Reigns and the Usos.
Wow.
Kevin Owens, favored to beat Randy Orton. Bronson Reed favored over Seth Rollins. Bianca and Jade had the biggest favorites on the show. Right. If you feel like you just know, go ahead, make that bet. I believe Kate won some money over there on TNA. It was a TNA Bound for Glory. That's what it was.
Yeah,
she
right.
Put some money down on Masha winning the the Bound for winning the Knockouts Championship, and that was an underdog that ended up winning. So check it out, BetOnline AG. Listen, you know the drill. If we've got betting odds on Fightful, that's where they come from. We have a preview show for this pay-per-view coming on Thursday with Zach and then Stephanie Chase. They will, of course, give you the betting odds and the like on that show and give you picks as well. If I come across any underdog lock picks, I'll let you guys know. But BetOnline AG, and it's not just them. It's so many other sports that they got over there. Make sure you guys check it out. Our great friend Vicky says, SRS and Alex, bet you can't dress or guess who I'm dressing up as tomorrow. It's Sting. You should dress up as Darby, though, Vicky. You should run around with a harness in your back.
Yep.
Skateboarding.
And a pink fluffy coat.
And a pink fluffy coat. Exactly. I'd like, in your opinion, say, do you think Sting will involve himself in this? Darby is trying to be Sting. Help, I'm so confused. I can't get behind this. I fully see another spot in the future when Darby has a world title match and it looks like everybody's coming to get him, lights go out, lights come on, Sting beats him with a ball bat, and Darby could even win the title doing like a sharpshooter or a scorpion deathlock in that sense. Sting has signed or agreed to a new deal with AEW in like a merchandising legends capacity. Very smart of them to do. Obviously, they want to keep merchandising him and using him. But yeah, I could definitely see Sting getting involved, Alex.
Yeah, I definitely could at some point, especially if it comes down to a Darby versus Moxley thing and there's a huge brawl and all the bad guys are involved as well. And then Sting comes down and helps Darby to win, clears the house.
Yeah, I don't think we have seen our last like double scorpion deathlock or anything like that. I think Darby should be using the death drop a lot more as well. Like, and Stinger splash. Like, I mean, honestly, looking at how his suicide dives look, I'm like, my God, I bet a Stinger splash from him would look crazy. He'd probably just flop over the top rope to the outside of the ring.
He would. Yeah.
Knowing him.
It's true.
Tom LaValle says Kyle's got Bandit Mark Davis and Sky Bluey. Very clever.
That's funny. Very good.
That was pretty good shit right there. Good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what else is good stuff. This tag team title match. Private Party defeated the Young Bucks. And they got me a couple times. You get the crowd chanting tag team wrestling. This is the spirit of AEW. This is what you want to see. A strong, emotional tag team division, Alex. I'll let you lead on this one because there was an awful lot here, but Private Party win the tag team titles. And not only that, Young Bucks show them respect afterwards.
Yeah.
And they were like, you got us. Good for you.
This match, to coin a phrase, restored the feeling.
Yes, it did.
This is what I believe that
AEW tag team wrestling in particular can and should be. It's great that Private Party is finally the champions. I'm really proud of both guys. I thought this match was excellent. The Young Bucks, you know, made them look so great and did such great work themselves. What a awesome way to end this title reign for the Young Bucks by putting over the right team and having a great match to do it. Crowd in Cleveland was absolutely eating it up. But one of the things that I loved, they didn't have Stokely involved at all in the match or like before or whatever. But a thing that he had said going into this a few weeks ago was, I think you two should split up. I think Isaiah Cassidy is the single star. That's the guy I want. And then they agented the match around Mark Quinn being dragged up the ramp up to the stage. And then Okada coming down and doing a tombstone pile driver to him on the stage. And then it was just Isaiah Cassidy by himself versus the Bucks, kicking out of everything he possibly could, staying alive long enough for his teammate to revive himself and get back to the ring. But at any point, if you would actually said, because the stipulation is they have to split up if they lose this match, Isaiah Cassidy in there by himself, taking all that offense, kicking out of everything until finally he can't anymore and he gets pinned, he could easily blame Mark Quinn for not being there to help him. And that facilitates an actual storyline wise beyond the stipulation, the split between them. And so that being a part of this made me think maybe they're not going to win this. If you would ask me going into it, I would have said probably 65-35, I think they're winning. But at that point, I was like, that might swing the absolute opposite direction there for me. So I loved that particular part. I thought Zay did such an amazing job telling that story of being in there against maybe the greatest tag team in the world. That was so great. But when Quinn dove back in there to make that save,
I was about to say that one of the best saves.
The crowd went ape. It was amazing. I loved it.
God, one of the best saves in wrestling history, I would argue, was that one, because I was like, there's no possible way he could physically make it there.
Yep.
When they hit the gin and juice once for their finish, great stuff. Moving out of the way, making the Young Bucks hit shins. It's like everybody knows that feeling too. So everybody knows sucked to hurt.
Yeah.
The doomsday kick outside as well. Yeah. Okada getting involved a little bit and hitting a tombstone. Like, they stacked the deck there. And what resulted was the crowd chanting tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
The crowd was here. What we got was a sports entertainment build. A wrestling match is what we got. Agreed. And that's where I think AEW does best. A sports entertainment build and a pro wrestling match.
Yeah.
And I think that is just what we saw here. And I'm so glad that they did. I mean, listen, there were other teams being pitched to win the tag titles from the Bucks a month or two ago. And these guys, about a month or two ago, were planned to do something with Scorpio Sky. And I would have loved to have seen Scorpio Sky get involved with them, but now we are seeing them given the ball and they delivered. Both of these guys delivered in the ring. Isaiah Cassidy he was tasked with a lot of the promo work. He killed it. He did a great job. Mark Quinn did a really, really great job of selling how important that team was to him as well.
Yeah.
So much so that he was like, of course I want a tag team title shot, but I don't want to not be able to team with my brother. Like somebody I've been with for years.
Yeah.
Oh man. Fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Actually, we got that one for another one. In Simmons is when Darby got stuck like SpongeBob. I laughed. Oh my god. Jay Holler says congrats to Private Party. Feels like a fix the women's division sign moment where you can see they're listening to criticism and working on it. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking of, I don't know what WWE Raw is going to do about that women's division now that Rhea is apparently sidelined for a while, but they need one of those signs.
They've done nothing to build up anybody who's legitimately a threat to Liv and Raquel. Nobody. They put all their eggs in a Rhea-shaped basket and said, everybody else can go have fun in the tag division. That's it.
Yep. Young Manch says, I'm getting here late, but I'd like to see the Team AEW recruit Nyla Rose or Hikaru Shida to counter Shafir. Both make a ton of sense. Yeah, Shida has been their, like, their ace. I mean, she calls herself the ace as well. I think that's a good one.
I think Shida would be really good for that too. Nyla also would be a lot of fun. Marina has such a specific set of skills you need to counteract. It can't just be anybody. It needs to be somebody who can meet her at that kind of game.
Yes. What else do we, here we go. Tom LaValle says, in the tag match, I followed Tony Storm's advice and watched for the shoe, saw Matthew lose the shoe briefly. I knew Private Party would win. Great match. It was a phenomenal match.
Yeah.
Darby was at a Halloween skateboarding contest, and people who are wrestling fans had no idea who he is.
I mean,
okay.
He looks like a skateboarder. So, yeah, you know what I mean? He would fit in with all the other people who are also skateboarders.
Listen, I am not a person that are like, oh my God, they don't know who this guy is. Oh my God. Guess what, man? You could throw any number of celebrities up on a screen right now, and I would not know who they were. Yeah. I would have no clue who they were whatsoever.
Yeah.
I became acquainted with Bad Bunny because of WWE. Now I know who he is, and I realize he's a giant megastar. Mm-hmm. People live in their own bubbles sometimes. That's just the way that works. Oh, man. Backstage, Jamie Hayter is dressed like Scooby-Doo.
Daphne. Casper. Yeah.
And Daphne. Right.
Yep.
Has a confrontation with Penelope Ford. I'm really glad they brought Penelope back and put her into something important.
Yeah, I feel like it's a really good, let's keep Jamie hot, always on TV, doing something interesting. She's incredibly magnetic and very cool. It's just not the right time for her to go after one of the belts right now. When she goes after one of them, I think she should win it. So I like that they're giving her other things to do until the time is right for that. And I also like Penelope Ford coming back saying, I was injured in a match I was taming with you 2 years ago. And so you cost me the injury in this time. Like, you're talking about something from 2 years ago, like 3 weeks ago, you cost me a shot at the title I never lost.
Yep.
So yeah, that, you made it personal with me now. So that's a big mistake you made on your part. So I like that there's back and forth. And it's not just like, I don't even know why you care about this. Was what it could have been, but they've decided, no, Jamie hates Penelope just as much. It's good stuff.
I'll tell you what I hate, paying full price for pay-per-views.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Daniel Garcia confronted Jack Perry backstage. I love this out of Daniel Garcia. He seems so intimidating in this spot. He was great in this spot, Alex.
This was really, really great. Like Perry just trying to push past him and him like not letting him do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sick of you entitled. Like this thing, like if you care about this company, the elite, if this is your company, why aren't you helping us get rid of these guys? And like, you know what? I'm taking your title because you don't deserve your title. And I love that he got really physical with him. And I loved, honestly, back to him from Jack Perry. They used to dance for me, too. They used to love me. Now they hate me. It'll happen to you, too. Like that, they used to dance for me, too, is such a really cool, pointed line about how yes, fickle the fans are. Why do you care about them so much? Like, that is a really cool line. And then the thing that happens right after this,
Jack Perry
opening the door and they're shredding documents and just throwing Jordans into boxes.
Brandon Cutler is in there destroying evidence. What? So, listen, buddy. I'm about two seasons into Suits from USA right now. And obviously, a lot of what the Young Bucks do is Succession inspired in that degree, in that sense. So I love that. It got me interested in them again. The last 2 weeks has made me go, what's going on with them again?
It's so funny because you say that as they're writing themselves off TV, so they don't have to deal with this particular, well, we're bad guys, but they're worse guys. Like,
yes,
I want them to have that tension there, but it looks to me like they're just removing themselves from the equation. So they don't have to worry about that tension. I hope I'm wrong. But when the Bucks decided we're out of here, we're not part of this anymore. They lost the belts and now they don't have to be around. I'm working from home is what Matt Jackson says to Daniels.
Jay Holler says, just for Alex noticing, they're only packing shoes.
They're only packing shoes. They're just Jordans into boxes. We gotta get out of here. Oh,
I loved it. I loved that. Chris Statlander defeated Camille. Man, Camille looks great. She's doing her job really well. This match, I feel like, could have went a couple minutes longer. I wanted to see more out of this.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like this needed to happen or needed to be longer. Mercedes jumped Statlander and berated Camille.
Yeah.
And said, if I want to do something right, I got to do it herself. Again, I want to see Camille immediately be like, no, I'm letting any of this slide type of thing.
It's not going to be immediate. Maybe it should be, but it's not. It's not like it's a fairly standard heel with a heavy. Berates the heavy until the heavy says, I'm not doing this anymore. It's been done for 100 years. They did it most recently and most prominently in this company with MJF and Wardlow. So that to me feels like what this is going to mirror. But I thought Camille was doing a great job. She was hitting her with big stuff, just not being able to put Statlander away. And Statlander reversing what she did into the Wednesday Night Fever. That to me, that's a one hitter quitter. When she hits that on people, they don't kick out. That was one of the only real big moves she hit on Camille. If she doesn't hit that, maybe Camille does beat her. So it was short, but I thought it was the reason it was short was because all it took was that one.
I can get with that.
Statlander found her way into that move as a reversal of another big move from Camille and put her away. If there was a rematch here, I feel like Camille would last longer.
LaRon says, is it time to bring back that book the women's division sign better? They hyped up Stat and Camille just to give them 6.5 minutes with commercials. I don't mind if a hyped up match goes a short amount of time. Listen, I've paid a lot of money to watch Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo, and I was very satisfied when that ended in 14 seconds. That isn't always the case. Right. I wish they would have got longer, but you know what? Alex kind of talked me into this one. I think that's important to establish right before you are having a match with Mercedes. However, I do believe that Camille and everything I've seen out of her should be a, no, you don't get a second chance to talk to me like
Sure.
And then I would immediately put the Renegade Twins with Mercedes.
Okay.
Because that's something I know that she's wanted.
Yeah.
Knockout Hub Tim says, thank you for all you do at Fightful. Thank you, SRS, for sharing our fundraiser as well. Yeah, of course. Listen, we love to help contribute to those causes. Meet Norvis says, we're in a drought in the DC area. I had to lose my or had to hose myself down during Camille Statlander. They should have gotten more time to slap meat, but a good match.
If this had been 9 minutes instead of 6.5 and still basically had the same finish, fine. There, you can find 2.5 minutes to cut from the Buddy and Adam Cole match. Or just again, there's no reason to have the Jericho segment whatsoever. It did not add anything to anything.
I agree.
All that got us is he name dropped Jay Briscoe one more time, which was then the immediate impetus for Mark Briscoe in his segment to say, that's the last time my mother's name's going to come out of your mouth. Me and my two boys versus you and your two boys in a street fight next week. And so I guess you needed Jericho to talk for 5 minutes to get to that, but you didn't. You could have easily given all that time to Stat and Camille, and we would have been fine with it.
The Young Bucks were shown leaving the building, said they would be working from home, as you mentioned. Daniels begged them to stay because he needed them. They drove off, but they left Brandon Cutler behind. And then Claudio and Mox smashed his hand.
I just love just the way Moxley put Daniels, the representative of Tony Khan, his boss, he didn't hurt him. He just put him in a headlock and then bend his arm back against him, said, you're not going to stop this. We're doing this. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm preventing you from stopping it. Like, yes. There's something so dismissive. He didn't punch him. He didn't hit him with a move. He just held him in place so that he couldn't prevent a thing from happening. That is, like, there's so much more power in that than, like, doing a Death Rider to him or something. Because I just need you to make sure you're not going to stop this from happening. And then we did our thing. Now we're leaving. But Brandon Cutler got his hand broken by Moxley's crew, which I guess means he's going to win the tag team titles in a month.
JP says, Alex, don't you think the Bucks will now get involved because of what they did to Cutler?
No. I don't think that at all.
No. Oh geez, that's good. That's no. good. Listen, I'm not making fun of you, buddy. I'm making fun of the notion that the Young Bucks in character cares. Oh man. That was good. That was good stuff. We have Christian Cage Hook recaps. Cage invites Hook to meet with him next Wednesday. And we had an Anna Jay video for her rivalry with Mariah May, which I thought that Anna Jay video was very good.
I thought it was very good. I really, because it was on Battle of the Belts, nobody ever talked about it. Yep. But I thought her and Mariah May in their match Battle of the Belts was very, very good. And I love that it gave a little bit of vulnerability to Mariah May in this reign. I don't think it really hurts her at all, especially because I fully expect her to beat Anna Jay in the title match next week. But I think that it's very, very, or I guess on Saturday. I think that's going to be a really, really good match, and good for Anna Jay for doing all of the work, for putting in all that work, and for getting so much better. Because she was very green when she started out, and I love that she admits it in the little promo vignette. She's gotten so much better, and I do think she's a future champion.
Yes, as do I. Shelton Benjamin against Swerve Strickland. Listen, I'm clearly a Shelton Benjamin guy. Swerve is one of my favorite performers over the last year and a half. You squirt yourself with that water bottle, Alex. Oh my God, down boy. Stay off the furniture. It's good shit, Alex. Listen. It's like good shit, man.
It's the best shit.
I'm not gonna pretend that like Sammy Guevara and Leo Rush and Swerve aren't incredible dance partners. Of course they are. A lot of people could have great matches with them. It's just everybody with a brain knew Shelton Benjamin could deliver at this level. Oh, and guess what? He delivered at this level again. And he's continuing to deliver at this level.
Yes.
And I don't think a thing less of him with him losing this match. Let's talk about the match specifically.
It was so great to be able to watch Shelton just like understand this is their top dude. He is absolutely one of their two or three top dudes. He's not the champ right now. He will be again. He's one of their top dudes. And Shelton said, I'm going in there with their main event guy. And I'm going to prove that I belong in the ring with that level. And he did 100 times over. You forget about how damn smooth Shelton is. You know what I mean? Everything has purpose. Everything flows into the next thing. I have never seen a dude kick out of a move into a waistlock, then German suplex. he kicked out, wrapped up, stood up, threw the guy. That the movie did to Sammy Guevara, where he just suplexed him straight up in the air. He did that to Swerve, who outweighs Sammy Guevara by 40 pounds. Come on, man. This is, he's so damn good. Swerve also, you could tell how happy he was to be in the ring with Shelton Benjamin. Again, the thing he said when he had the promo with Shelton Benjamin. If you could tell 12-year-old Swerve, I'm going to be in the ring with Shelton Benjamin. He wrestled the match that his kid self would have wanted him to wrestle. This was so excellent.
Sending money to see Alex's reaction to SpongeBob Darby. Jay Holler, by the way, thank you for all the super chats today. We greatly appreciate you. I'm missing Shelton Shawn 19 years ago. It's crazy how good he is at his age. Everyone in this segment was 10. Oh, man. I remember watching the Gold Rush tournament. I was at home watching Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. And, at teenage me, Shawn Michaels is one of my favorite of all time. Yeah. Shelton is my new favorite. And I heard that music hit, and I immediately pressed record on what was still my VCR at the time. And because I knew I'd be watching that one back. Meet Normus says main event was a bumper. I think you mean a humper.
Yeah, that autocorrect always gets humper.
And an indictment of WWE booking. AEW is indeed where the best wrestle because Shelton is now there, and now more meet with Bobby. Well, let's talk about it, my friends.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley is called up by MVP, and he immediately comes out. Crowd is all about it. Theme is, we'll see how that evolves.
Yeah.
But the face-off is there. Man. Dwayne, thank you very much for this generous super chat, by the way. You've been waiting a while for this one. It says, OMG, Alex is crazy. I'm crying. The smile at the presentation of Lashley I had was huge. Mad at the ball drops from production. Well, let me tell you, if there's one thing production had, Dwayne, it's cues. Because as Zach says, the only thing louder than the pop for Bobby was the ref's time cues. 90 seconds, guys. Wrap it up.
And then the 30 seconds was louder.
30! I'm going to start doing that to you and Kate. I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up at 1 hour, 58 minutes, and 30 seconds. Hey, guys! That's what I'm going to do. We don't have an overrun! Luis charges at the top of each hour.
I don't know if you've noticed, but since they've been on the CEW, we don't even go close to 2 hours anymore. There's just not as much stuff to talk about.
Listen. It's a new age.
Yeah.
A new age. But Dwayne, I'm with you. The presentation was, they rolled him out like a big star. There were people asking immediately, why wasn't Private Party winning the main event? And listen, if it would have been made the main event, I kind of would have got it. But the reason why is because they wanted to establish the Young Bucks are getting the hell out of here. That's the main reason.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that if that would not have been a thing, they would have been. But Bobby Lashley debuts, and, you know, I am always one quick to criticize, like, okay, how many former WWE guys, especially 48-year-old, 49-year-old, and Ricardo says Bobby's going to rule off you on this hill. Well, the reality is there is nothing that Bobby Lashley can't do now that he could do back in the day.
Right.
And Shelton is fresh and original enough to adjust and has a skill set in which complements him at his current stage. They beat the living shit out of Swerve, out of Nana, anybody in sight, a bunch of security guards. Thought this was a phenomenal debut, Alex.
The one thing about it that didn't make a whole ton of sense to me was the phone call. I thought the phone call was for a debut next week, because if he's not here, you call him. If he is here, you should have already talked to him and told him, if Shelton loses, you're going to debut out here and kick Swerve's ass. The phone call was like, was he just hanging out in the locker room? Like, hold on, I got to take this. Yo, P, what's up? Oh, now? Okay. Yeah, I'll come out now. And then he hangs up and he walks out to the ring. It just felt like a little weird at that point. But everything else was amazing. The suit, the stare down, how dominant they were. This is something that I would actually really love to see. Maybe not next week, but maybe in a couple of weeks. This is going to be a dominant faction. The Hurt Business, the Hurt Syndicate. And they're obviously playing heel. I want to see MVP shaking hands with Moxley backstage. I won't get in your way. You don't get in ours. We're cool. Like that kind of a thing. I want, like, then you don't have to worry about, like, they'll come out and help them or why. Like, I want a guy like MVP to know in his mind, I've got to make sure we're cool with these guys.
He's got to broker that, I think.
Yeah.
I think. And I feel like it is important that MVP brokers it, and it's Lashley and Moxley, like, sort of staring at each other.
Yeah.
In that. I think that would be very, very cool. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, just reported some details on the Bobby Lashley deal. I'll give you a few of them. The rest are over there. Please subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. He's been signed for over a month, as we had reported, but this was actually planned for WrestleDream. And then somebody spoke up and said, you know, maybe we shouldn't have two hometown guys get the living shit beat out of them in one night. We have a lot more details over on Fightful Select. Bobby Lashley is, you know, a guy who probably could have stayed with WWE, as best I know. I've seen a lot of people say, well, why would anybody go to AEW? Listen, we're 2.5 years into the Triple H regime. We are about 10 months into the no, really, it's Triple H regime.
Right.
And even since then, we've seen Ospreay pick AEW. We had seen Okada pick AEW.
Ricochet
pick AEW. We've seen Bobby Lashley do it as well. So we have a nice balance here. We have a competitive product in that sense financially, even though the attendance and viewership numbers aren't there. They're going to be around for a while. It's good to have that competition. Love for Bruce says, I should clarify, someone knew who Darby was and approached him, and his friends made fun of him because they didn't know Darby was a wrestler. He had the pink jacket. They played Seek and Destroy. Listen, I'm still absent a bit of context here. I don't know if the guy's friends made fun of him.
Yeah, the guy's friends made fun of him for not knowing who Darby was.
Okay. Or
even though they all follow wrestling.
Did they make fun of Darby not knowing that he's a wrestler? Maybe that he could beat him up. I don't know. Okay. Did Darby have a friend?
Maybe. That might be it.
I've got so many questions here.
It could be.
Chris says, loved to see Will Hobbs join this group.
At that point, it's all over. It's all over for all of you. Will Hobbs joined this group. It's a wrap.
Oh my gosh. Well, guys, we're about wrapped up here. Tomorrow at noon, Stephanie Chase will be hosting a prediction show brought to you by Bet Online for Crown Jewel. Friday, Grap City will be on a day early as a result of Crown Jewel. So make sure you tune in there. Check out our new interview with Bronson Reed, where he admits, Alex, he is Peter Griffin, not the chicken.
Oh, okay.
Important note. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on all the socials media at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me this Saturday reviewing the Crown Jewel with Kate. Now, Kate will watch the show, and I will not because I still have some kind of moral compunction. So I don't know what happened. I black out social media for the time the show is on, and she will tell me what happened. And then along the way, she will tell me three lies, and I have to figure out where she's lying. And with this particular card, with all of these possibilities, it's going to be really difficult for me to spot the lie. This is going to be might be my most difficult one of these. So it should be a lot of fun. It's one of our most popular gimmicks over there. Everyone seems to love it. So don't miss that this Saturday. That'd be it.
Yeah, a lot of people putting that over. Sands of Blind. We do preview shows. We're going to have the Scoops thread for Crown Jewel as well. Match rundown, all that stuff. Support original reporting. I can't tell you how important that is to support original reporting. I know you can get a lot of stuff for free these days. And listen, I know for some of you guys, it's not in your budget. Completely fine with that. Completely understand it. Here's a free way to help us. Leave us a nice review on any of the podcast platforms we're on. Apple, Amazon, all that stuff. Great to see you guys here. Hope to see you guys all week. Oh, my God. Until next time, guys, we're out.